Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Housing Boom and Bust by Thomas Sowell examines how the United States moved from a historic run-up in home prices to a damaging crash, and why the policy response often missed the real drivers. Known for analyzing economic issues through incentives and institutions, Sowell treats housing not as a mystery but as a market shaped by rules, subsidies, and political pressures. The book connects lending standards, government housing initiatives, and the behavior of financial firms to the creation of widespread risk that was poorly understood by the creation of widespread risk that was poorly understood by the public. It also highlights how narratives about greed or irrationality can distract from the concrete mechanisms that spread losses across the economy. Rather than focusing only on Wall Street, Sowell follows the chain from local lending decisions to federal policy and global capital flows. The result is an argument that the crisis was not inevitable, but the predictable outcome of interventions that weakened accountability and encouraged borrowing and lending beyond sustainable limits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how incentives turned housing into a speculative engine. A central theme is that housing markets respond powerfully to incentives, especially when rising prices create the expectation of effortless gains. Sowell frames the boom as more than a surge in demand for shelter. It became a feedback loop where credit expansion supported higher prices, and higher prices justified looser credit. When buyers believe appreciation will cover mistakes, they tolerate bigger loans and thinner savings. Sellers and builders interpret the same price signals as evidence of lasting scarcity, which can push more construction and more borrowing. Financial firms also have incentives to keep origination pipelines full, particularly when loans can be sold onward rather than held to maturity. That separation between making a loan and bearing the long-term risk weakens discipline. The book emphasizes that markets are not self-correcting when the rules and rewards point in the wrong direction. A system that pays for volume, celebrates short-term performance, and assumes liquidity will always exist invites speculative behavior even from ordinary households. In this view, the boom was the visible outcome of layered incentives that encouraged ever greater leverage, while masking how fragile the structure was once prices stopped rising. Secondly, government policy and the erosion of lending standards. Sowell argues that housing policy did not merely set the background for the crisis, but actively shaped lending practices. Efforts to expand homeownership can look compassionate, yet they can also pressure lenders to approve borrowers who are not prepared for the true costs of ownership. When underwriting standards loosen, default risk does not disappear. It is redistributed and often delayed. The book highlights how political goals can conflict with sound credit assessment, especially when policymakers treat higher loan approval rates as a social achievement rather than a risk trade-off. Another element is moral hazard. If institutions expect some form of protection or believe losses can be shifted elsewhere, they behave differently than they would under full accountability. Regulations and mandates can also alter what counts as acceptable risk, changing behavior across the system. Sowell stresses that the immediate benefits of expanded credit are highly visible, while the long-term costs are diffuse and often blamed on other actors when they arrive. By tracing how standards changed and why, he presents the crisis as a policy-driven weakening of safeguards that once limited how far the market could be pushed by optimism and political ambition. Thirdly, securitization, risk dispersion, and the illusion of safety, the book explores how modern finance turned individual mortgages into tradable assets, allowing risk to be dispersed across institutions and borders. In principle, spreading risk can make the system more resilient. Sowell questions whether, in practice, it created an illusion of safety that encouraged even more risk-taking. When a mortgage is bundled, rated, and sold, the ultimate owner may rely on models and ratings rather than firsthand knowledge of borrower quality. This distance reduces the incentive to scrutinize loans at the point of origination. The chain also complicates accountability. When many parties touch the same mortgage, responsibility becomes diluted. Sowell connects this to a broader issue in markets. People act on what they are rewarded for measuring. If firms are rewarded for producing securities that meet certain rating thresholds, they will optimize to those thresholds, not necessarily to long-term stability. When housing prices rose, defaults stayed low and validated the models, which then justified further expansion. Once prices flattened and fell, the assumptions collapsed, and assets that seemed liquid became hard to value or sell. The discussion underscores how complexity can hide risk, especially when the system assumes continuous price appreciation and ignores the possibility of correlated failures. Fourthly, media narratives and mistaken culprits. Sowell challenges common explanations that reduce the crisis to a single villain, such as lender greed, borrower irresponsibility, or financial innovation alone. He argues that these narratives are attractive because they are simple and politically useful, but they can prevent serious diagnosis. Blaming a group can also justify policies that treat symptoms rather than causes. The book emphasizes the importance of following incentives and institutional structures rather than relying on moral stories. For example, greedy behavior exists in many eras, yet not every era produces a systemic housing collapse. The key question is, what made that behavior widespread and rewarded? Sowell also critiques the selective use of statistics and dramatic anecdotes that shape public perception while ignoring broader context, such as earlier housing cycles, regional differences, and the role of policy in steering credit flows. Another focus is how hindsight can distort evaluation. Actions that looked prudent under widely accepted assumptions can become obviously reckless once the market turns, but that does not explain why the assumptions were accepted in the first place. By dissecting popular accounts, Sowell pushes readers to evaluate claims with economic reasoning and evidence, especially when public debate leans toward emotionally satisfying explanations. Lastly, lessons for policy, markets, and personal decision-making. A practical thread running through the book is the set of lessons the crisis offers for future policy and for individuals navigating big financial decisions. Sowell argues that policy should be judged by incentives and results, not by stated intentions and results, not by stated intentions. When regulations or programs reward risk, the system will generate more risk, even if the goal is social uplift. He also stresses that attempts to make credit widely available can backfire by placing vulnerable borrowers into obligations they cannot sustain, turning a promise of stability into a pathway to financial distress. For markets, the lesson is that price signals and risk assessment must remain connected to real constraints like income, savings, and the ability to endure downturns. For individuals, the book reinforces the danger of assuming that housing prices always rise, or that refinancing and appreciation can substitute for affordability. It encourages skepticism toward easy money narratives, a careful reading of loan terms, and an awareness that market conditions can change quickly. Sowell also points to the importance of transparency and accountability, arguing that when decisions and consequences are separated, errors grow larger before they are corrected. Overall, the lessons emphasize humility about forecasts, caution about leverage, and the need for policies that reduce rather than mask systemic fragility. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, argument-driven explanation of the housing crash that goes beyond slogans. Policy professionals, students of economics, finance practitioners, and homeowners who want to understand the forces that shaped mortgage availability will find it especially useful. Readers benefit because Sowell repeatedly ties events to incentives, showing how well-intentioned programs can produce harmful outcomes when they weaken standards and blur responsibility. That perspective can improve a person's real-life decisions by encouraging disciplined thinking about debt, risk, and the difference between a rising market and a sustainable purchase. It also equips readers to evaluate future policy proposals with sharper questions about trade-offs and unintended consequences. Compared with many crisis books that focus mainly on Wall Street personalities or dramatic chronology, Sowell emphasizes institutional causes and the predictable effects of incentives. The value is not just in recounting what happened, but in presenting a framework for recognizing similar patterns in other markets. If you want a compact, accessible analysis that challenges popular narratives and stresses accountability and economic logic, this book is worth buying as a durable reference rather than a one-time news recap. If you would like to support Thomas Sowell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.